Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. Today you find us in a series called Ancient Wisdom. Every day we have many decisions to make. At each crossroads, we can try things on our own and lean into our own wisdom, or look to God for what He might say. When we try to do things on our own, it tends to not go very well. When we follow God's wisdom, we find that the path is true and good. We'll talk more about how this plays out in life during the month of June. Follow along and we hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, everyone. How we doing? Fine, awesome, good, perfect. We're working our way there. I thought that we'd be more lively at 11:37, but it is what it is. We probably went to bed late. Who went to bed? Did someone go to bed at 3? Is that what I heard? 2? You're crazy. Unbelievable. How are you guys doing this? You went to bed at 9? Maybe.
So, I had 2 play performances yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And then, so, we got home at 1:30, and then
those play performances will do it. Those will do it for you. Well, hey guys, I'm Stephen Whitaker. I love Jesus and the Bible and also talking to people about it because it's the best. I have a little family that I like to talk to the Bible with, and I've actually got them on the screen. This is my whole family. I'd like to draw attention to my wife. If you've been in big service before, you've probably seen her because she sings up on stage. She's got the most lovely voice on the planet, but also she's the best in so many ways. She's funny. She's brilliant. She's so smart, and she loves people the most. She's so good at loving people. I'm just trying to keep up, and she loves a dingus like me, so I'm grateful for that. We also have 2 kids, Wesley and Margaret. Wesley is on the next slide right here. He is 3 years old, and he is a wild man. He is unhinged. I think that some of you guys are very energetic people, but I think that it would even take you so much energy to keep up with him because he is just on another level, guys. He is crazy. But he's the sweetest dude on the planet. I love him so much. And then the sweetest and most adorable addition of the bunch is Margaret right there. She's 10 months old. She's just starting to walk. But she's got 2 little teeth there on the bottom, and she's got 2 on the top. They look like my teeth. They're pretty big buck teeth. So hopefully she doesn't keep those for forever. Hopefully she loses those and she gets nicer teeth like her mom's. But she's also got another. I'm talking about teeth so much because I know that you guys are thinking about teeth too all the time, right? Yep, absolutely. Teeth they're always on the brain. What can we say? No, that's ridiculous. But yeah, she's so sweet and adorable, and I love her so much. But another reason why I'm up here is you may not notice me because I'm not usually in middle school. I'm usually in high school leading a small group of high schoolers, specifically 12th grade boys, but they just graduated this year, so I am going to be missing some of them because they're going off to brand new and better things, like college and such. Some of them are doing full-time work, but I've loved my time with them because they're just brilliant dudes. They love Jesus so much, and they love the Bible, and so I'm hoping to get to talk to you guys about those things as well, because those are things that I love, and I love the next generation, so I am excited to be here and talk to you guys about that. Now, before we get talking, I want to go ahead and let you guys know that we're going to be in Luke 9:23, and we're going to go from Luke 9:23 to 25. So just a short amount of verses. But this is the last in our series of ancient wisdom that we've been doing these last few weeks. And I know that we've done a few different things when it comes to wisdom. We've done a few different categories, such as learning about God's wisdom, wisdom in friendships, and wisdom in self-control and following the Holy Spirit. And I was just curious, what is something that you guys have learned in this series? Is there anything that you guys would like to share of that you learned in this series that sticks out to you? No? Cool. No worries about that at all. But today we're going to be learning about an interesting bit of wisdom, and that is the wisdom of the cross, or the wisdom of following after Jesus and what that looks like. And the reason that we're talking about this we'll get to in a little bit, but I think a question that's going to help us to think about that more is this question right here. I want you to turn to your neighbor first, and I want you to ask your neighbor, what is something you enjoy? What is something that you enjoy doing? All right, guys, what are our thoughts? Let's share with the group. What are some things that you guys love? What are some things you guys enjoy? Yes, ma'am.
Writing.
Love it. Yes, ma'am.
Crocheting.
Huge fan.
Gardening.
I love it. Yes, ma'am.
Singing.
Uh-huh. Dude, same here. Spending time with friends is the best. Yes, ma'am.
Drawing.
Say that again.
Drawing.
Oh, yeah. I can tell an artist when I see one. You're an artist for sure. Yes, ma'am.
Reading.
Oh, you got my heart right there. Huge fan of reading. Yes, in the back.
Softball.
Let's go. Sports are the best.
Horseback riding.
Oh, my gosh. You're like, I don't know, like Aragorn in Lord of the Rings or something like that, or Eowyn. Is that right? Do you know Lord of the Rings? Am I just nerding out? Oh, my gosh. We've got to get you on the Lord of the Rings train, okay? It's incredible. Anyways, can I hear from anyone over here? Something you enjoy? Yes, dude. Swimming at your pool? That's actually my friends. They call me, I forgot to go over this. My friends call me Scuba Steve, and they call me Scuba Steve because of the fact that I love to swim. So, hey, love swimming. Hey, it's my nickname, man. Don't make fun of me. But people call me Scoob, Scoobaker and stuff. But swimming at the pool is where it's at right there, especially on this hot week. Gosh, it was unbelievable. Anyone else? Yes.
Murder mysteries.
That'll do it too. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah? Awesome. What's your best stroke?
Butterfly?
Dude, killing it. What's up? You write stories? Dude, that's a great thing to enjoy. With all of these things that you enjoy, do you enjoy them all the time? Is it easy to garden all the time?
No.
It's hard. Do you pinch yourself sometimes when you crochet? Yeah. It's not the best. It's especially hard in this hot weather. Is softball easy all the time, especially when you got to go to practices probably like day after day? No, practice is not easy. So why is that? Why is it that we get into even the things that we enjoy the most? These are things that are difficult for us. They have hardships. They're not easy day in and day out. And I think this is some wisdom that Jesus wants to pass off along to us too, because it's not easy to follow Jesus day in and day out. There are highs and lows. There are good times and bad times. Sometimes we don't want to do it. Sometimes we do want to do it. So what do? How do we follow Jesus in the midst of the times where we do want to follow him and times that we don't want to follow him? And I think our passage today will help us to answer that question of what he calls us to discipleship, how he calls us to discipleship, and why we can follow after him as disciples. And I think today what's going to help us is that it's going to call us to have more passion and excitement and joy as we follow Jesus. Is that good? You feel like we should do that today, guys? We should learn about that today? Awesome, awesome. Head nods, thumbs up. Okay, so I've broken this down into three questions that we're going to have answered for us in this passage. And the three questions are this: how do we follow Jesus? What makes it difficult? And why follow Jesus? So how, what, why? How do we follow Jesus? What makes it difficult? And why follow Jesus? All right? So let's answer the first question. How do we follow Jesus? And I think the first verse in our passage is going to help us learn about this. So let's read the whole passage, and then I'll read the first verse again. So the whole passage says this: "And Jesus said to all, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?'" Now again, let's look back at this first verse, because I think it helps us answer our first question of how do we follow Jesus. And it says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So I think it's three easy steps. We're going to deny ourselves, we're going to take up our cross, and we're going to follow him. But I think we can become a little too familiar with these ideas, and all, that it breeds unfamiliarity for us. So let's get more familiar with it. So deny ourselves. What does that mean? Deny ourselves, or to deny yourself, means this. I think it means to disregard your own interests for something better. Disregard your own interests for something better. Sorry. And by disregard, what I mean is that you reject, you neglect, or you deny your own interests. And I think that this is difficult in our culture because we have things such as slogans in our culture as have it your way and live in your world, play in ours. And I think what these slogans promote is this idea of saying yes to everything, because in saying yes, you can have your wildest dreams. And we have yes going along in all of our culture to where the idea of saying no seems taboo or seems foreign, seems like something that we shouldn't do. To say no would be the wrong thing to do, because to say no means that we can't have the things that we want, can't have the things that we enjoy the most. But Jesus here is saying something different. He says, deny yourself, disregard your own interests. Why? Why might he say that? And I think it's because that we do a good job of saying yes to the wrong things. I think that we've been doing it from the beginning. If we read the story of Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve say yes to the serpent when they should be saying yes to God, and they say no to God when they should be saying yes to him. But I think that we do this in a bunch of different ways, and I think that some of those ways that we do that is we can say yes to the people that are popular around us, even though that we are loved and accepted fully by God, or we can say yes to spending hours and hours playing video games or being distracted on our phones with TikTok and Instagram, when we can be spending time with God and who he's called us to be, to remember that we are cherished and loved and respected and cared for, and we don't have to worry about comparison and anxiety that doom scrolling might bring along with it. So I think that Jesus is trying to get us to deny ourselves because it will give us something better, something more than we can ever imagine, something that these other things in the world can't promise. Now, the next thing is take up your cross daily. So take up your cross daily. I think that the way that we should define this, and this is going to be a little weird, but I'll explain it, is to attack your sin daily, or to attack your sin always. So to take up your cross daily means to attack your sin always. See, the cross is the sin of all the bad that we've done and all the bad that people do in general. That's its symbol, which is what makes it hard to deal with because it's not something that we enjoy. It means that we have to deal with the bad things in our lives. We have to deal with the pride. We have to deal with the anger. We have to deal with the envy. We have to deal with the lust. We have to deal with the fear in our lives. And that's not something that's fun. That's something that we should be saying no to, right? That would be something that our culture would tell us to say no to, is don't deal with those things because they're too scary. They're too much. And yet what Jesus is saying is no, attack it, face it head on. And I think the reason that we don't do it is because our sin can be a little alluring. It can promise us more than it can give to us. Sin is always trying to find a way to say, no, it's okay. What I'm giving you is going to be much more than whatever God can give you. And it's just not the truth. See, we can find it in the good of trying to be popular, but even when it comes to the expense of hurting someone's feelings or exiling someone away from you or kicking them out of the group because they're not doing the cool thing. Or maybe it's playing video games hours on end, even if it means that you're getting angry and that you're thinking terrible things about the people that you're playing against. See, we are made to love God and people, and sin is trying to get in the way of that. It's trying to get in the way of that. And even so much so that there's a wise old man a long, long time ago that said, hey, be busy attacking sin or it will be busy attacking you. So Jesus wants us and calls us to take up our crosses daily. He calls us to attack our sin always because he knows that the best life is following after him, and that the best life would be taking care of the things that try and pull us away from God. that try and tell us that we need to be more popular, that we need the next thing, that we need something other than Jesus. And really, he is all we ever need, because he is full of love, and he is full of truth, and he is full of life. He literally says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And these are the things that we're looking for. We're looking for the way to live life. We're looking for truth in our lives. We want to know someone to be honest with us, and we want to have life. We don't want to have death. And literally, he is saying that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So take up your cross. Attack your sin. If I was thinking of it as Fortnite, if you want in Fortnite, you want to be the battle royale champ, but be the battle royale champ of conquering sin and death in your life, of taking care of sin. So lastly, Jesus says, follow me. And I think the way that we can reorient this, or we can look at this in a different way, is that it's is to say, follow God. Because who is Jesus following? He is following our Heavenly Father in the good times, in the bad times, in the highs and the lows. Even if the high times were of the disciples going throughout of all of Judea and Galilee and Israel, and they were bringing people to Christ by healing them and releasing them of demons, or whether it was the lows of having your dear close friend to you betray you, such as Judas, and still offering him a seat at the table and still washing his feet, even though he was willing to betray you. Or the good times of healing the blind and allowing the lame to walk and causing the deaf to hear and having the lost being found. Or the bad times of being in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he was about to go to the cross and asking the Father, Father, please take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Even in the midst of really hard times, Jesus was saying, I want to follow you more than I want to follow anyone else. So he wants us to follow God. So my question to you is, do you follow God through the highs and the lows? Do you follow God through the good times and the bad times? Do you follow Jesus when you have a lot of stress at school because you have an exam coming up? Do you follow Jesus when you're scrolling through Instagram and TikTok and you just can't ever catch up to what everyone else is doing, and instead you're just hopping on the train of anxiety and depression? Or maybe you follow Jesus when everything is going well and everything is going great for you, but still you have something missing in you, and it's Jesus. You still need Jesus even when you have everything. Do you follow God? Do you follow Jesus? All right, now our next question, what makes it difficult? And I think the answer to that question is in verse 25. So let's look at verse 25. It says, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Now, right off the bat, Jesus lets us know that following him is not going to profit us the world. It doesn't gain us the world. It doesn't gain us fame or notoriety. It doesn't gain us followers. It doesn't gain us money. It doesn't gain us power. And these are all tools that we can use for good and for bad. But you're not made to be famous. See, Jesus made you to be known in how you serve the person made in his image that walks beside you, that lives next to you, that sits beside you and behind you and in front of you. He made you to love the person that sits next to you in class. And he doesn't want you to be known for your YouTube channel or your ability to influence people and make friends. He wants you to serve others. He knows that money is a great tool, but he doesn't want you to use it as a means to acquire things, because then it's no longer a tool. It's just something for you. It's just something for you to acquire more stuff and still to feel empty in the end with all that stuff. So, and power isn't about using it to brag and to boast about you being better than someone else. See, whether that is with school or sports or video games or whatever, power is about using it to lift up others in the kingdom of God. It's about taking people that are not feeling loved and showing them love. The people that feel like they don't deserve mercy and giving them mercy. Or the people that don't deserve mercy and giving them mercy. See, the kingdom of God is not just for friends and family. It is for friends, family, for enemies, for those far away. It's for everyone. That's why Jesus even says at the beginning of verse 23, he says, if anyone would come after me, it means that it's possible for anyone to follow him, no matter if you like them or not. But this is what makes it difficult, is that it's a possibility that anyone could come into the kingdom of God. And also it's difficult because we have so many distracting things in our lives. But we have to give up our way and the world's way and follow Jesus's way. We have to give up our way and the world's way and follow Jesus's way when things are difficult. And last but not least, the question of why follow Jesus. And I think our answer is in verse 24. So if you look in verse 24, it says, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. The Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in Greek. I should have brought a water up here. I did not realize I'd be coughing so much. Sorry, guys. But if it was written in Greek, and if you were to translate it another way in Greek, it would say something like this, that verse 24. It would say, for whoever wants salvation for their life will destroy their life, but whoever destroys their life for me will have salvation. And I think that this is a key point for Jesus, because everyone is looking for salvation. Everyone wants salvation. Some people want to be saved from their mess and from their family and from distractions. And then some people think that they can save themselves or save others with their influence and power. But really, we all need to be saved by Jesus. We all need to be saved by the destructive forces of the pursuit of fame and money and power and popularity and video game accolades and sports and the things that you enjoy. We need to be saved from those, and we need to love Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. See, Jesus gave up his life. He destroyed his life so that we could experience love, grace, mercy, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, so that we could have salvation. He looked at his life and he said, I will destroy it in order to have salvation. I will destroy it in order that others may have salvation through me. So why follow Jesus? Because he gives you the salvation that you need. Why follow Jesus? Because he gives you the salvation that you need. And this salvation does not come and go with the wind. It is an ever-fixed mark that goes with the tempests and the storms and keeps you strong in the midst of your weakness. His love and his power will hold you through it all. And it does not give up on you day after day. It does not give up on you in the highs and the lows or the in-betweens. It is always with you. It is always for you. He loves you with an undying love, so that you can leave here, and that when you leave here, whether it's sitting with the, so that you can be empowered to sit with the kid at lunch who's alone for whatever reason, and you can show them the comfort of God, or you can share a laugh with a sibling who sometimes annoys you, but so that you can experience the joy of God, or you can listen and obey to your parents, even though you don't want to always, and you can experience the faithfulness of God. See, he wants you to meet him day in and day out, to experience his presence day in and day out. And you can do that in so many different ways, so many different ways. And even though you, it's hard sometimes, even though there's highs, even though there's lows, he is still faithful to you. He still loves you. He still cares about you. He's still merciful, to where you should be able to follow after him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because his whole heart, mind, and strength is yours. He's given it to you. So, will you accept it? Will you believe it? Will you follow Jesus day after day, in the highs and the lows, in the good times and the bad times? Let's pray, and then we'll break up into groups. Jesus, you're so, so good to us in so many ways that we can't even name them all, and we're not going to be able to name them all. But thank you so much that you give us this verse to be able to look at life and to deny ourselves so that we can follow after you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Lord. You're the best for doing that and so much more. Please, Lord, help us as we go into small groups, as we go into our little groups, to talk about you more and to see where you're working in our lives, and ask and invite you in to work into our lives, because we need you. We need you so much, Lord. You're the best. It's in your name we pray. Amen.